Thank Karen for stepping in and doing a children's story for me today. And thank you very much. It was brilliant. I think English sheep say bæ, because in Denmark they say mæ. So I don't know what goats would say in Danish, you know. I was thinking, what is that? but I want to thank you, and I want to also just thank Steve, because the children today, as you can see, have been given some activity sheets. Some have been done by Steve, some by Karen. So they can, that is in theme with the sermon today, so they can kind of learn as they're doing various activities together. And I know some of the adults might be coveting some of those, but that will be for after the service, all right? I also want to thank Ian for leading this today's worship and for choosing the hymns for me today. Thank you very much, Ian. I don't know about you, but I do like storytelling. So today I'm going to talk about something called the God Gap. I'm going to talk about storytelling and how that is communication in our world. I want you to think about that. How do we tell stories in today's world? But I want to take us back to how did we start as an Adventist church? Way, way, way back when our great-great-great-grandparents became Adventist. How do we, in a world that we live in today compared to then, how do we talk about a God who nobody knows about? How do we talk about our distinct Adventist message when our church started in the 1860s? It started in a time and a place where ordinary people knew about God. They were brought up as Christians and they knew the stories of the Bible. Our pioneers back then met the challenge with this knowledge that people already had existing in them by focusing on our differences and our what we call our distinct message. Focusing on the difference of what we believed and other church people believed, and then through convincing arguments, would try to persuade people to jump from one church over to the Adventist church because we had the message. Now, when you think about it, that's how it was then, back in the 1860s. Today, if we are realistic, there is a God gap in our society. Most people where we live have never, and in our time, have no knowledge of the basic stories of the Bible. And we live in what I'll call today a Bible illiterate world. And the name of Jesus is merely known as a profanity. We can lament this and be upset about it and complain about it, but this is our reality today in 2016. This is the time and the place you and I have been born into and called into. And perhaps instead of being upset that society is no longer Christian, we need to look at ourselves and how do we share God through our various evangelistic efforts. And I want us to be honest with ourselves. I don't think we can no longer afford to focus only on our difference from other Christian beliefs. I really believe that we need to go back to the core of our belief, the core of what Christianity is, and that is Jesus crucified and resurrected. And when we go back to the example of Jesus, Jesus shared about the kingdom of God through storytelling, through conversations with people where he was, and telling kingdom stories, like mingling with people. He loved being with people. And are we like Jesus mingling where we are? What conversations are we having today as Adventist Christians? At home, in church, in our workplace, in society? What are the kingdom stories we are sharing? How do we talk about God, about church, about faith? And what are the conversations, if we're honest, that we're having around our lunch table? You know, I find that we get very passionate talking about ourselves, or more like why other members are not exactly as good as us, or they don't think exactly like us or worship like us. We tend to talk about ourselves and what the church and especially the pastor should be doing for us, so much so that we actually struggle to have healthy discussions and healthy conversation that are relevant to people in our workplace. We don't know how to talk about God. Perhaps because we have come from a heritage of arguing people into agreeing with our faith, we don't know how to have good conversations about God without having to proof text ourselves. Now, internal communications about ourselves and our own issues make us lose a perspective of issues that are important to others? Could that be? I sincerely believe that in the society we live in, there is a lack of God conversations in the public sphere as well. When I look at how Jesus in the gospel is portrayed, he wasn't just sitting in the synagogue and having discussions only. He was out there with people, walking alongside, eating with them, mingling with them, going to their houses, and also being in the public sphere, in the marketplace, and addressing the concerns of people where they were. And in that, addressing their concerns, Jesus kept sharing kingdom stories in a context that ordinary people could relate to. So what kingdom stories are we sharing today? Where are we as Adventists in the conversations around us? Are there perhaps conversations around us that we should be part of in the community? Is this community in which we worship, Hemel community, lacking our perspective and participation in what they care about? If we as believers are not interested, I think, in the society around us, the community in which we are placed, why would they then in return be interested in what we have to share when we share our faith? I think there are times we as Adventists are very much in the public sphere. We're very much in the media. We have a couple of issues that we are slightly overrepresented on. And I'm not saying this is what we have here at Hemel, but I'm talking about in general as Adventists. There seems to be three things that Adventists get very passionate on and are very happy to go in front of a camera or write about to the local newspaper. We love getting on our soapbox when we can talk about the Pope, homosexuality, or conspiracy theories and apocalyptic predictions. Just think about it. What message does that give to communities who've never heard about God when these are the only three things we care enough about to talk openly to our colleagues about? Why is it that we only take part in such conversation around these topics? Now, most of you who are in a working environment know that most people are not interested in these topics. And I hate to break it to you, but most people today don't really care too much about the Pope. They're not interested too much in our opinions about conspiracy theories, but they are listening to what we're saying of current affairs. What are we saying about homosexuality? What are we saying about refugees? And I wonder where in those conversations we're having that we read online or that we hear, where in those conversations is Jesus? And how Jesus-centered are those conversations we're having? I really sincerely believe that there are other conversations we at Adventists should and must be present in. We are needed in the larger community. And I was so happy at the board meeting on Monday when our head deacon raised a question. Now, are we collecting anything for the refugees in Syria? And we all looked around and said, no, we are not. But that's something we should be involved in. I'm hoping you agree with me. And things like that is that when we start to listen to what is it, what are the needs, what are the concerns, and what are the cares in the communities, and when we start addressing that, it becomes so much easier also to share why we're doing it. We can only know what is happening in our local communities if we dare to listen. If we want to listen to, you know, the radio, the media, hear what's going on in our community, hear what's happening, what are the needs, what are people concerned about, how can we as a church, as church members, be part of those conversations, how can we step in and mingle with people who are not coming inside our church doors. I think we cannot complain about the absence of God in society if you and I, as Christians and as Adventists, are not prepared to mingle with non-Adventists and be part of godly conversations where we go. I think there's a couple of very public arenas and very, very much highlighted issues that we are not talking about that I find deeply concerning. I always wonder, why do we not talk more about slavery? According to Amnesty International, there are more slaves today than at any time in history. Experts estimate that there are 27 million slaves in the world. Why do we not talk about that? Or human trafficking. Every 30 seconds, somebody is trafficked. What do we feel about that as Adventists, as Christians? And one of the really sad statistics on trafficking is that, were you aware that in Moldova, a European country, probably about 15, 20 hours drive from here, 60 to 80% of its young girls are missing, believed to have been sex trafficked to Western Europe. That's on our doorstep. Are we concerned? Should we be concerned? UNICEF reports that approximately 30 million children have lost their childhood through sexual exploitation in the past 30 years. And we know from statistics that violence against women are at an all-time high. Now, I'm really proud when I got to hear that I was coming to Hemel, and I heard how involved you were in the local women's refugees. I think Hemel is on the path of being part of the society, being part of the community. But so today I just want to ask you a little bit more. Can we do more? Can we be more involved? Because can we ask ourselves if the people who are trafficked, who are sold into slavery, are they not also part of God's children? Does God care less about them than about those of us who sit in church talking about worship styles and conspiracy theories? Are these not people we as a church should care about? And can we really afford as Christians to remain silent on these issues? You know, it reminds me of the story that Jesus told about leaving the 99 sheep and go looking for the one that was lost. And as such, I continue to see God gaps in the society when I look around. There are so many places that is lacking a Christian conversation, a conversation about God. But how do we start conversations with the imprint of God to an illiterate, Bible-illiterate world? You see, I believe that when God becomes part of our conversations in and around us, God's love transcends through that and becomes very tangible in the communities that we interact with. Now, if you go back to the Bible reading, which is Matthew 25, 31 to 46, our scripture actually brings that home today. This is a parable that Jesus was telling about the sheep and the goats. And follow in, I'm not going to read it again, but do follow it in your Bible. Because I think, you know, we have heard this story so many times. We know we should clothe us and feed the, you know, hungry and all of that. But I want you to think about one thing in this text that you might not have considered. I find it personally really interesting that the righteous, who according to this passage, are not necessarily those who can argue the right theology, but those who served those in need without expecting a reward. God is not asking them to explain difficult theological passages or doctrines, but he's asking, did you share my love with those who needed it? Were you practically showing the love of God to those who were in need around you? The question isn't if you can recite the 28 fundamentalist beliefs of the Adventist Church, or you can name all the books. You know, I'm impressed when children are learning all these things. That's not what God is asking. He's asking, did you live out your faith in a practical manner to the people that were in the community, to the people that you interacted with? We can compare it, again, this thought, to the Pharisees that we read about in the Gospel. And I think it's interesting because in no time does Jesus actually tell them, your theology is wrong. That's not what Jesus says to them. But over and over, he points out the God gaps in how their religion is practiced and what they value as important, and how the Pharisees themselves had become insular and ignorant to those needs that were in their faces around them, and how that will keep them from heaven. And perhaps some of them were also becoming obstacles for ordinary people to see God. Matthew 23:15 reads, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you succeed, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Are we as Christians becoming obstacles for people to see God, to experience a living God, a God who loves all of us? You know, we do not feed the homeless or clothe the naked because we want to be saved. We do it because we are saved. And like Jesus, we cannot simply walk away from the suffering of this world. We are called to serve the broken society we live in, not only by words, but sharing God's love in a very tangible way. Well, Valentine's being tomorrow, love is all around. You know, we see all the romantic movies, all the cards, all the flowers. It's become very commercial. We all focus, many people are focusing on love. In my household, we don't do that. My husband reminds me, this is not a Danish tradition, so I will not buy you flowers or chocolate. You can have a word with him next time you see him on that one. But we focus so much on love as a society on tomorrow. But what does that mean in our hearts as Christians? Are we sharing God's love in a tangible manner? John 13, verse 34 to 35 is a well-known verse, and you know it most likely. There it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We all know that can be hard, but this is a sign of being a Christian, the love we have for one another. And I really sincerely believe that once we are involved in our society and our colleagues see how engaged we are in conversations that they care about, that matters to them, that we are not only talking about what's happening in our church, but also caring about what they care about, then I truly believe that it is easier to share. Definitely in my experience, it is easier to share why you don't go to the football matches on Sabbath, but you sit in church, or why you didn't go to the disco Friday night because you were home having a family worship. There are so many things that becomes much easier to discuss because it doesn't become a monologue from us as Christians, but it becomes a dialogue with the people we care about. If we don't care about what our neighbors and our workplace care about, why should they even bother to listen to us when we talk about what matters most in our life, our faith? And I think this is the problem, that where do we start? You know, where do we start if we can't just recite Bible texts and can't just recite what we believe? Where do we start with having godly conversations with people around us? I truly believe that it starts with sharing, very simple, what God has done in your life. Not an hour-long sermon, but just dropping in the conversation. Well, you know, I believe, you know, I have a faith, and this is what I do, and yes, I'm going somewhere with my church, and they're like, oh, what, you know. And being a Christian today is the rarest thing for many. We're living in a country where most workplaces, there might be one or two Christians, and you might be it. So think about this. This is an amazing opportunity to share, not to bring a whole Bible study initially, but just share little faith drops in, and they will come and ask you. They will come back because you might be the only Christian they know. And when trouble hits, they want to talk to you, and they'll be very happy for a prayer as well. People want to hear your story. People are so story-driven in our society today that it doesn't matter if you can prove that our faith is right. We want to know, why does God matter to you? Why do you go to church on this strange day where everybody else is doing something else? Simple things. And we don't have to have a big dramatic testimony to give. Well, God helped me that I was able to, you know, drive safely to work today and I avoided things. And I think it's important that when we are sharing our faith with people around us, that we remember that nobody has a perfect life. Nobody has a perfect life. And it is sharing that life in imperfection that makes it genuinely and interesting for people. One of my friends shared a story where he had been going to church for many years, back and forth, and he'd always spoken with his neighbor, and they had a good relationship, and yes, everything is fine, yes, everything is good. And for 15 years, everything was perfect in this Christian family, and the neighbor's life was falling to pieces. But he never felt he could talk to the Christian about that, because if your life is so perfect, how can you relate to me, whose life is so broken? So I don't think we need to put on a facade that we have everything together. but it's about being real and how in the realness of our life, God is part of that, and that makes us able to get through life. It can be difficult. Because if we are honest, there's not just God gaps in our society. Sometimes there are God gaps in our own lives. There are parts of our lives where we're happy to keep dressing our Sabbath finest on and ask God not to come into that corner of my heart. I'll surrender this part of me, God, but please let me keep one part for myself. If you feel that or have experienced that, you're in excellent company, because most of us have. And those who haven't, I would like to ask to take a good look in the mirror again. But you are in good company, and I'm in good company, because the famous psalmist David writes exactly about this in Psalm 22, where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. There are times also in David's life when he felt that God was absent, when the answers that we were waiting for and he was waiting for didn't seem to be there. And there are those dark days for some when we, like David, feel God has forsaken us. But it is then that we need to be reminded of another scripture. And this is when we need to remind each other of that is not the end. We do feel the God gap in our personal life. But we need to go back to Deuteronomy, where it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. The Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave or forsake you. So even when we have those God gaps in our own spiritual life and in our own life, God is reminding us that you are not facing it by yourself. I am journeying there with you. It is in these times, when we feel we cannot reach out to God in prayers, that he, I believe, extends his arms of comfort and grace and holds us tight. Sometimes his comfort comes in the way of a visiting friend. Sometimes it's a song that brings into our heart the comfort that we need. Sometimes it's a thought shared, or read, or a rainbow. Now I'm reminded just shortly about how God journeys with us through it all. If we go back to the Gospel of Luke, we find there in the story the two disciples who were so depressed after leaving Jerusalem. We call it the road to Emmaus. And after Jesus' death, these two disciples were just heartbroken. Everything had fallen apart. But Jesus walks up to them before they even recognize him. He is journeying with them. And he's able to take them from despair into a life of hope. And I think in our God gap, when we feel that absence of God, there's a good reminder that God walks with us and journeys with us even when we are not able to see him. He is still there. Have courage. Have faith. God is walking there even when we don't recognize him. Or before we even know him, he is journeying with us and bridging that God gap in our personal lives. I believe that God is calling out to all of us to be in the time that we live. We are called for this time, for this place. Let us try to share who God is, where we are placed. We can't all go out to the entire world. Our world is the community we have around us. It's our workplace, it's our schools, it's where we are placed. And together, with one here, one community, all that, we will cover the earth. But God has placed you where he's placed you today to be a person of influence, to be, for many, the only Christian they know. Do we dare to have good conversations about God? Do we dare to be relevant into the community we find ourselves in? I think that's my questions. Do we? Do we have enough faith that it is okay to be vulnerable in the presence of non-Christians and still talk about God, even though they might not just jump on the bandwagon and want to be baptized the next week? We don't see the results of the seeds we start sowing when we start having good and godly conversations about God, about faith, about what it means to live a life as a Christian, what it means to follow God, to know that even in our God gaps, even when everything seems desperate, God is walking with us and saying, don't give up. I believe we are called as a church to, in this world, bridge the God gap, sharing God's story, serving the broken community, not because you and I are gathering little stars for heaven or doing a checklist of good behavior. We do it because of what Jesus has done in our lives, that he died for the cross for us. Not because of how much we have done or deserve it, but because of who God is. And I think that is amazing news. That it's not about me, but it's about God's offer of salvation to each one of us, even when the God gap is apparent in our lives. But as a church, it is my prayer that we will help bridge the apparent God gap in our society by talking and sharing good stories about who God is in our lives. Keeping it real, keeping it authentic, and keeping it short sometimes as well. I'm glad that God calls all of us to share his kingdom stories where he has placed us. Amen.